All right. Now, number four, Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata, live from the Ok Chin Community Studios. Tomorrow's a big day for Deadpool fans. A new version of Deadpool is going to hit theaters. A PG-13 version of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. My 9-year-old cannot wait.
Yeah. You'll let him go?
Of course I will.
Did he see the other one?
Of course he hasn't.
Well, one of the men responsible for writing the Deadpool movies and Super Sons fan, Rhett Reese, joins us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What's up, Rhett?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. We have been driving a wedge between parents and their 9-year-old kids for the last couple of years, so we're trying to get past that now.
Yeah, that is outstanding. So how did the remake work, in your honest opinion?
It's great. I mean, it's not a different movie. This is Deadpool 2. It is a PG-13 version. We've got about 12 or 13 minutes of new footage, largely a Princess Bride-style framing device wraparound with Fred Savage, where Deadpool reads Fred Savage a story a la Peter Falk and the Princess Bride. So it's not a brand new movie, but there's a lot of fun stuff in there. And for kids that age, it really, really works.
Yeah, and I saw the trailer when it came out with Fred Savage and Ryan Reynolds in it, and I laughed throughout the whole thing. The whole idea of it is just so funny. I can't wait to see the new cut.
Fred kills it, too. There are very few guys who've been able to go toe-to-toe with Ryan Reynolds, and Fred is actually one of them. It was really fun to watch.
Plus, I think since the last time we talked, it became official about, maybe it was before, Zombieland 2?
Zombieland 2 is indeed happening, yeah. It starts shooting in January. It'll come out in October. It's all the original actors. Save Bill Murray, who lost his life, sadly, in the first movie. Spoiler alert. But, we couldn't be more excited. We're very, very thrilled.
Yeah, lots of exciting stuff going on.
Well,
Rhett Reese, definitely.
And also, the Pirates of the Caribbean story. I've got to ask you about this. I know Jared has shared with you what a dork I am about that franchise.
You're a deep diver, no pun intended. Look, we're going to do our best not to screw it up. That's all I'll say.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure you'll be real good at it.
Yeah, we're going to set the bar low. It's a thrilling franchise.
Yeah.
And, some people feel like it may have, if not run its course, at least gotten a little stale. So we're going to try to
Certainly.
Inject a little more new life, new blood into it.
Now, I know you got to be careful with this stuff, but Rhett, could you characterize maybe your vision for where you can take it? Because, jumping the shark has come to kind of light of day with that franchise.
Yeah, we're only going to use pirate metaphors. We've used diving and jumping the shark. So I will just say that it's we're trying to do, if not the Deadpool version, at least the punk rock version of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Nice.
And so the task will be not to stray too far from what made you and other people love it, but also, chart a little new territory. There I go again with the chart.
Charting,
sorry.
Right, exactly.
Nobody
right.
said walk the plank yet.
Well, you've got your compass
out. That's still out there.
And your compass works. So, so I get it. All right, there we go.
Rhett Reese, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. As a screenwriter, and since you're undertaking this Pirates of the Caribbean thing, what is more challenging? Is it recapturing the magic of an original in a sequel, which you've had success with? Or is it kind of a reimagining of an established franchise?
I like an original idea best of all because there's no pressure. I mean, sometimes I feel like, our job is sort of a nervous breakdown with a paycheck. You get people with expectations. They start to own these movies. They start to feel like the movies are theirs. And then they become all the more discerning and kind of angry if you screw them up. So these are not, the most fun of movies to write, but at the same time, they're the most common jobs in our town. People love franchise studios, love franchises, people love franchises. So you definitely have to work them in among the other screenwriting jobs that you do.
Yeah. Now, so screenwriting obviously takes a lot of stuff like vision, imagination, great writing, all that stuff. How do you find romance and poetry in Arizona sports?
Boy, these days it's a true tragedy. I mean, it's like Shakespearean almost. I watch every Suns game, and my impression of me watching a Suns game is Have you ever watched somebody get strangled to death in the movies? Like, where it's like at the beginning, they put up a fight, and they're fighting, and they're trying to grab the guy off their neck, and then they slowly start to lose energy,
yeah,
and fade.
Right.
And then there's that moment where they suddenly get a little more energy, and then they finally fall still. Like, that's me watching a Suns game. Like, it's rough stuff right now.
But and we've had a little bit, we hate the term moral victories, Red, as most Suns fans do, but a little bit of one from last night's performance at least. I mean, considering the way some of these games have gone this year, where there's no fight at all and everybody's talking about effort afterwards, at least last night was a step in the right direction, don't you think?
I loved last night. I love seeing D'Anthony Melton's fire. I thought Ayton came out fired up. Holmes really set the tone. Josh Jackson was lighting it up. Like, yeah, I'm as depressed as I've been, I'm still optimistic about these guys. I think anybody who expected us to start winning this year was definitely drinking Kool-Aid. This team was never going to be great. It's going to be a bumpy road, but I do think if we can just hang in there in a year or two, it's going to be a lot better.
All right, I want to ask you about script writing in this current day, because so many of the releases are the big epic end of the world kind of thing, the Marvel chain, obviously. What is the trick to successful screenwriting in 2018, given what you know about audiences and attention spans and the bar that has been set before you?
Well, I mean, what we try to do is we try to enter a genre and then sort of make fun of it while also being it. So like Zombieland, we entered a genre that was pretty tired zombies, and we kind of made fun of it while we were also still legitimately a zombie movie. We did the same with Deadpool, with superhero movies. We did the same with reality television, with the Joe Schmo Show. So when we're coming into a genre, it's our goal to kind of make fun of it while still being an example of it. And that's the best way I would put it.
And Zombieland 2 is filming right now. Is that correct, Rhett?
Not until January.
Oh, okay.
It starts middle to late January in Atlanta, Georgia.
Look at that. I got inaccurate information from IMDb.
See, and I think you kind of touched on this, too, just about the proprietary effect of it all, the pride that goes into the work and not wanting it to be altered. What happens when you've got a piece of writing that you're particularly proud of and an actor isn't feeling it, or they deviate from script? Where do you go with that?
Well, I mean, in the case of someone like Ryan Reynolds, he's generally elevating it, like he's making it even better. So in that case, you just sit back and take credit for his sense of humor. But in most cases, it is hard to watch, you know, because you're not creating a building, right? You're drawing a blueprint for the building, and then other people come along and build the building. And it's no fun when you show up and the building's a different color and the window's broken. And you know what I mean? Like so you just have to let go a little bit. You have to invest, you have to care. And then at some point you have to stop caring and just let it go.
Rhett Reese, Hollywood screenwriter, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Again, the release of Once Upon a Deadpool to theaters tomorrow, a PG-13 version for the holidays of Deadpool 2 for all the Deadpool fans out there. Are there any more Deadpool movies in the works, at least from an idea standpoint, Rhett?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We plan to continue the franchise. First up will be an X-Force movie, which is the team-up movie that we set up at the end of Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. And then Deadpool 3 will probably follow that. So it's going to be a bit. We're kind of following the Iron Man Avengers model, where they came back to Iron Man 3 after Avengers had already come out. And I think we'll do that here. So I would say it'll be a few years. This will be the last taste of straight-up Deadpool for a little while.
Gotcha. We got to get back into the sports thing too, because not only are you you're a Valley guy, Suns fan, and we've had the debate on this show, so maybe you can chime in on this. What's been more painful this year, Suns or Cardinals?
I would say the Suns, because I with the Cardinals and with the NFL in particular, I think it's easier to go from worst to first. The Cardinals have shown the ability to do that before, where they jumped into prominence with Kurt Warner and then again with Carson Palmer. So I feel like we're just closer there. Even when we're further away, we're closer. The NBA is something that just feels like it takes years and years to build. It's a process or a timeline or whatever you want to call it. And I just feel like the Suns are just further away. So I feel the pain of the Suns worse.
But you would agree they're both painful.
Oh my God! I mean, this is—I literally, this is the worst time ever in Arizona sports. I can't remember a time when this was, because I'm not really a Coyotes guy. I grew up in Phoenix, so I never played hockey, so it's not really my sport. So between, and then the Diamondbacks, what they're doing, like it's a debacle right now. But you know, we got nowhere to go it up, and I did actually feel optimistic watching that game last night.
Yeah, I was right there along with you.